Right after Thanksgiving, you see all over the place decorations, Christmas lights, especially in the mall areas and then also in some neighborhoods. You know, people very busy putting Christmas lights. And then there is also a music that accompanies all these things. It's beginning to look like Christmas, very popular. And now we are here preparing ourselves for the last 4 weeks in the season of Advent, celebrating Christmas. Well, you know, the time goes very fast, but the most important thing is that we have prepared ourselves for the coming of the Lord, and then we are here to honor Him and to honor the gift God has given us. God has given us a gift, and that gift is divine. And that divine gift is Jesus Christ. So that's the reward, the gift that we have today. In the book of Genesis, the writer told us that Adam and Eve were with God, enjoying paradise. It was peaceful, it was calm. Both were enjoying life. And also he tells us evil existed there in the form of a snake. But you know, the intention of the writer is not really to talk about the snake, how bad it is, but I think the overarching meaning or message of the writer was that humans can be defiant, rebellious, non-compliant, or disobedient. That's the message behind. And that is exactly what happened. Instead of listening to God, Adam and Eve preferred to listen to the evil. And that's how they lost paradise. And God was not so happy with that. So he has to do something. What he did was, he promised. He promised to bring back and to give them that goodness and blessings they enjoyed in paradise. And he made a promise. Remember, he called Abraham. He tested him. And he has overcome all those temptations, and he presented himself worthy of righteousness. And God blessed him and blessed his descendants. Even promised Abraham to bring forth from one of his descendants who would save the entire people here on earth. That means he's going to send someone, his own son. And that's the covenant he has made with Abraham. And he fulfilled it. Like if you see the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus is the definition of his identity. From Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From Babylonian exile to Jesus, 14 generations. So the meaning behind, you know, mentioning all these generations is that Jesus is the son of David, which means God promised David to establish his kingdom through one of his offerings. That means his offering, the descendants of his offering, his offspring is Jesus himself. So let your kingdom come. This is always our prayer. So that kingdom has been established by the coming of Christ. And Jesus is also the son of Abraham. Look, Abraham was blessed by God because he was very faithful. He blessed him. And he gave him all the grace he needed. So this, the coming of Jesus also shows us that there is a lot of blessings and goodness that is coming into the world. And now, this has been revealed to us, particularly in the Old Testament, through the prophets. Isaiah, behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and she shall call him Emmanuel. And that Emmanuel, well, in the language of the church, Emmanuel is the mystery of incarnation. God becoming human like us, taking the form of human flesh and living among us. So here you have Emmanuel that has been foretold by the prophets, and today we have the incarnation, which means God assumed human flesh in the womb of the Blessed Mother and became incarnate. That incarnation is our redemption, our Savior. Now, the question today for us is, maybe we have been questioning this all the time, why God needed to be human like us? But he could have done it in a different way. But what is the message behind that he decided to become human like us, or to assume human flesh like us? Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church has very clear answer for this. Because human life is sacred, and human dignity should be esteemed, respected. And this should also be the moral value of the society. But not only that. Remember, God decided to assume human flesh to save us and to bring us back the blessings he has given us, because he created us in his own image and likeness. That's to show us how sacred we are and the dignity that God has given us. And also, if you look at the first letter of St. Peter, just to show us why God decided to become human like us, is that in his first letter, chapter 2, he says, "You are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." God's special possession. That's why God decided to become human like us. So we have such a great respect and dignity that we have received from God. And this is what it means by Emmanuel. God is with us. So the incarnate Emmanuel, then Jesus. If you look at Jesus, which means God is with us today. And God showed us that he is with us today by assuming human flesh in the Blessed Mother, and also after his birth, wiggling in the manger straw. And also he became adult, and then he started preaching, teaching in the synagogues, and also curing the sick, feeding the hungry. And also when the time came for him, then he called his disciples and he showed them that his body is the bread of life. And then afterwards, he offered himself to be crucified. Remember, gasping for breath, shouting, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is just for us. That means Emmanuel, the incarnate, God is with us. So he died for us, and he rose from the dead, and then ascended into heaven. That is Emmanuel, God with us. So he came into this world, especially in many ways, but particularly to show us these three divine gifts. One, the love of God. That's why he came here on earth, to show us his Father's love. The second, forgiveness. He came to forgive us. We were sinners, we sin. And now he has to give us back that blessing he has promised. So he came to bring us forgiveness. And third, he came to bring joy and peace to this world. That's what we sing, peace on earth. So what today we reflect, we meditate, and we pray on these three things: love, forgiveness, and peace. And this is the divine gift that we received today from God. So let us ask the Lord in this Eucharistic celebration to make meaningful the presence of Christ in our hearts, especially reflecting on love, forgiveness, and peace, that it may reign in our hearts, that they all reign in the heart of all human beings, especially making Christ the center of our lives, making Christ meaningful in our lives. Well, it's very easy to do that. I think what we need is, most importantly, is to look at our own prayer lives. Look how really good we are in our prayer lives. If our personal prayer life is very strong, then it's very easy to feel the presence of Christ in our hearts. But if we're like, you know, distance ourselves from our prayer lives, it's even very easy to dwindle in our faith. So the more closer we are, the more to Christ, you know, the strong our prayer, personal prayer life will be. So let us think also today and reflect how we can be able to make strong our personal prayer life, which will help us to establish a very strong relationship with Christ. Because we need Christ one way or another. We live here in this world where there is, you know, so many things, so many chaos. There are also so many good things. And the presence of Christ helps us to discern, especially to give us the power of discernment, which is very, very powerful, that we really need it in our lives. It's very easy to deviate if we don't feel the presence of Christ in our lives. And look what happened, as I said earlier, to Adam and Eve. You know, evil exists. We fight evil, we resist evil by being strong in our personal prayer lives. So let us ask the Lord in this Eucharistic celebration to give us that grace and blessings to be always strong in our personal prayer life and make Christ in our lives more meaningful. Amen. Amen. And Merry Christmas.